May the Lord richly bless you this morning. Let the musicians go ahead and have their seats. And it's good to be in the presence of the Lord this morning. You love it? I guess it turned off summer all of a sudden. Amen. Of course, we knew it was coming, just a matter of time. Amen. We're going to get into the scriptures this morning. I'm going to try not to be real lengthy this morning, but you know how that is. It always really isn't in the hands of the preacher. It's actually in the hands of the people. So you go, and we'll get through this. So Matthew chapter 25, we'll begin reading at verse 1 through verse 13. It's the parable about the wise and foolish virgins. Matthew 25, verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. And all these virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to be to the marriage, and the doors were shut. And afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. Pray just for a moment. Lord, as we come to this portion of the service, we just want to just commit it all into your hands. And Lord, that you would just take me as your servant this morning. Just Lord, that I just move myself out of the way. You would help me do so. And that you just use my voice and my thinking and every action, Lord, that you would use it for your glory. And that it would be something that would help your people today. We trust in you, Lord. We know that we are your people. We're here gathered in your name. We know that your presence is here. And so we just turn this entire service over to you and ask God that you would touch every life. Lord, those that are here present, those who will stream, those who perhaps hear it some other time later, we ask that you touch each one. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. Well, the title of this, Go Ye Out to Meet Him. That is a phrase in that passage of scripture that has always struck me for many, many years, that the scripture said, Go ye out to meet him. You know, revelation, Brother Branham tells us that we should pray for a revelation. That's one thing that we need, is revelation. And revelation is the language that God uses to speak to his people. You wonder, you know, I think the disciples said, well, how's he going to make himself manifest to us and not to the world? How's he going to do that? Well, he's going to do it through revelation. And so revelation is the language that God uses to speak to his bride. And when Jesus said, you know, in Matthew chapter 16, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, well, some say this, some say that. But he made it personal. Right? Because you cannot go by somebody else's revelation. You cannot go by what somebody else tells you. This is a personal relationship. And so when he said, who do men say that I am? And they said, well, some say this, some say that. But he brought it down and narrowed it down. He said, but who do you say? And you're going to be asked that question. Everybody has to voice their opinion, and they do, obviously, in this day for sure. This is the harvest time, so in harvest time, everything has to make itself known. But you're going to have to give account to what you think. And who do you say that this Jesus Christ is? And so you're gonna be, if you haven't already, you're going to encounter him. Some people will encounter him, obviously their final encounter at judgment. But when he says, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Well, the disciples, you know, said some say this, and some say the prophets, and so forth. But who do you say? And that famous little portion of scripture that where Peter said, "Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." And so Jesus responds to him, to Peter, when he said that. He said, "Peter, flesh and blood hath not revealed that to you." So no person walked up, nor could a person walk up to Peter and say, "Let me tell you who this is." Right? It won't work that way, and it won't work that way for you. You can't let someone tell you who Jesus Christ is and that gets you there. See? And so he said, "Flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven has revealed this to you. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter," which means rock, and he said, "upon this stone I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Well, the Catholic Church, they say that was Peter, and so forth. But Brother Branham, as with so many things that an end-time prophet was sent to do, was to straighten out the scriptures, the misunderstanding we have of scriptures. There's nothing wrong with the scriptures, but our understanding was wrong. And he said it wasn't Peter, because, you know, even our own Bible tells us that Peter, you know, he denied the Lord, and even after he was converted, he didn't walk upright to the gospel, and Paul had to rebuke him, right? And so we know that. So it couldn't be built on that. But Brother Ben said, here's what it's built on. He said it's built on revelation of who Jesus Christ is. Now, Jesus Christ, he was the manifested word for his day right at that time. So you could search all the earth over at that time and see and search out and say, "I want to know what God's doing." And when you found out what God was doing, you'd be looking at Jesus Christ, because he was the word that was to come to pass in that day, and he was the manifestation of it. And the salvation comes for that day and any day is when it is revealed to you that that's the living word. That is what God's doing right now, and that's the connection that you can have that makes a difference in your life. And so Brother Ram tells us that spiritual revelation, that's the rock that God will build his church on. Okay, and so we know that in the scriptures, rock is revelation, right? So we think of the parable where he says that if a man will take these words that I'm giving you and will, you know, will believe him, and it's like a man who's building his house upon a rock. And so the floods come, and they beat against the wind, and the floods beat against the house, and the house stands because it's built on a rock. But Jesus said those who do not listen to these words and take heed to them, they're like a man that builds his house on the sands. Same storm comes. Now listen, you got storms in your life, and some people don't cope too well. We all have storms, but some people just can't seem to cope. And I'd ask you, what are you building your life on? It's only going to get worse if you're not built on the rock. And so the storm would come against the house that's built on the sand, and that same storm that tried to take down the house that was on the rock and couldn't was able to take away and destroy the house that was built on sand. And when the scriptures, and we say this many times, when the scriptures talk about the harlot system, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit, and it uses the word bottomless pit, because a bottomless pit, it doesn't have a bottom. So you know that a bottomless pit cannot have foundations. And so the doctrines and the teachings and the words, because he's talking about these words, they are a rock that you can build on. Well, then what about what people build on that's not the word of God? And so you have a religious system in the harlot church system and the beast system that their doctrines have no foundation in the rock, the word. So there's no foundation there. We know all these things, but just to set a something we could work off here. And so we know that a rock in the scriptures is something you can build on, right? We know that as people who's built houses and constructions, that you have to have a good foundation. And so Jesus said that revelation, rock, this is what my church is built upon. This is how I'm going to build my church. And the gates of hell cannot, they will not, it's not possible for them to prevail against God's church that's built on revelation. And if you notice in there, it said gates. The gates of hell will not prevail against them. And he tells us that it's these people who have revelation in their life, God speaking to them and telling them, showing them who and what is the living word for their day. Not showing them what Jesus 2,000 years ago was, right? But in our day, God will be speaking to people and showing those people right then and in the day what God's doing. Where is God manifesting? What is his program for this hour? That's the thing that his church is built on that Satan can't hinder. Now, if they're built on anything else, Satan hinders them. His gates come and you know what a gate is, you know. The idea there is that Satan wants to hem you into his system where you can't get out, and that makes you a prisoner. But we all know that in this Bible is an Eastern book, and in the cities in the Middle East, back in Bible days, they were walled cities, but the walls were there to protect them. So the inhabitants would get inside that wall, and they would close the gates, and it would protect them from outside invaders and people who would mean them harm. But the city had to have a gate on it. It had to have at least one gate. And so the gate was the most vulnerable part of the city because, you know, the walls were probably pretty hard to penetrate. But that gate had to be open. It had to be a place where you could let people in that you wanted in and let them come and go, but yet you wanted to be able to close it off to keep the enemy. And so the gate was the weakest place in the city. Okay? And so Satan might try to put things around you, but here's the thing, is if no matter how strong the city is, if that gate can't be effective, then he can't hold you in as a prisoner. You follow me? He cannot hold you as a prisoner because Jesus didn't say the city that Satan wants to build around you. He said the gates of hell will not prevail against you. They will not be able to hold you captive. Right? And so he's telling, but what is it that's going to make it to where Satan cannot hold you captive? It is revelation. The revelation of the word in your life is what makes it where Satan cannot have any his way with you. And we know this, that we refer to it all the time, that she will become an invincible army. She'll come to a place where Satan can't do anything with her. And that's a people that's built, their lives are built on, and they live daily by revelation. And so the gates of hell cannot prevail against one. And so, as I said, revelation is the language that God uses to speak to his bride. And because it's through that channel that he can lead her in places that nobody else is aware of. He can speak to her and show her things and keep her from suffering things that everybody else suffers. Because if she listens to that voice of revelation in her life, the revealed word for the hour, he'll steer her and guide her into the places he wants her to be and can take her somewhere that nobody else can find. Right? And can cause her to avoid troubles that everybody else has to go through. But you know, see, if you don't have that in your life, if you don't have revelation, then how's he going to lead you? How's he going to guide you? Right? So it's there, and it's given to us by the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us, and it is the Holy Spirit that does that. We also know that the book of Revelation is the bride's book. Because the book of Revelation, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he is God in flesh. All that God was, he poured in Christ, and now Christ has lived for 2,000 years, and at the end, there is going to be a revelation of Jesus Christ. He's coming. And everybody's afraid of that book. All these people out in the world, they don't even want to preach it out of the book of Revelation. One of the most glorious books in the Bible, in my opinion. But they don't want to touch it because it's fearful. And you know what? You see him coming at you for what? For what he is to you. Now follow me. If you know him to be your Savior, you're not afraid of his coming. But if you're fearful, it's because you know there's something wrong. They look at that book of Revelation, which is an end-time revealing of Jesus Christ to the world, and what they see is judgment, and the reason why is because that's what they're going to get.
Right.
But to the bride of Jesus Christ, when she looks at that book of Revelation and she sees all those animals, beasts and all these things that are wars and all that, she looks at that and it edifies her and purifies her and makes her even stronger in Christ Jesus, because she sees that as her husband, her soon coming king and husband. You follow me? But the world doesn't see it that way. What's the difference? Because she has revelation.
Yeah.
And so she can totally see things totally different. Just like Elijah or Elisha, whichever one it was there, and had his servant and got up and saw all the armies around him. Worried about it, said something to the prophet. The prophet said, God opened his eyes. And when he opened his eyes, he could see that the hills were full of chariots of fire and horses. And the prophet said, well, there's more with us than with them. See, they were there, but he couldn't see it. But the prophet could. But then when revelation struck that servant, his eyes was open. Now he could see that they were safer than he thought. He's following me. Revelation lets you know that no matter how bad the hour is, and by the way, the world's crashing and burning.
Right?
And it's Satan's desire for you to crash and burn with it. But by revelation, it won't bother you. It doesn't bother you. It shouldn't bother you. Amen? Should not. Because we know these things come. Listen, there is a judgment for rejecting the Word of God. And you know, judgment, it does two things. It'll either purify you or destroy you. That's right. It's going to purify you or destroy you. Things has to come like this. And you can't expect humanity to continually tramp over the Word of God and make laws and allow their politicians to do these things and there not be a backlash from it. You can't let people just go off and just enjoy the pleasures of the world and let their families just drift off into the streets and their kids go do whatever. Because guess what? Satan finds those voices and he comes and fills them. And so, you know, when you look out and you see all the rioting and stuff going on, there's a reason for that. There's plenty of reasons for it. And you could say, well, it's this and it's that. But it's also what was lacking in the lives of all them people. Because if they had been brought up right, they wouldn't be out there doing that. They wouldn't be touched by these things. If the church had done their part and if people who live godly would did their part, they would not be influenced by this. But then when they go off and they get away from the church and they go out into the world, who knows what they're going to believe? Because I've said many times, you know, if you're not led by Christ, then Satan's going to come in, and then it's whatever he wants to make you be. If he wants you to be a drunkard, you're going to be a drunkard. If he wants you to be a prostitute, you'll be a prostitute. See, because you're not in control. Right? And so we know it's these things have to come. The book of Revelation is the bride's book. She's not fearful of these things. She's blessed. I love every time God shows me something else out of the book of Revelation. The entire Bible, as far as that goes. But the book of Revelation is not something for her to be fearful of, because it is the revealing of her bridegroom to her.
Yeah.
And so we know that we already see that you must have revelation in your life in order for Satan not to be able to have you hemmed in. And you know, I understand that when the Jewish people rejected Jesus, and he told his people, his followers, Jesus told them, said, when you see the armies come around and gather around Jerusalem, you quickly flee. You flee to the mountains of Judea. You get out of this city. Right? Everybody's familiar with that.
Right.
And because it's vengeance. To these be the days of vengeance upon this people. Why? Because they rejected the word, then there's backlash that comes from rejecting it. You reject the word of God in your life, and you're going to have backlash.
Right.
And it's your fault, right? Because God's dealing with you as an individual. You as a person, he's speaking to you, and it has nothing to do with anybody else. It's you he's talking to. And so you're going to be accountable before him, yourself, not somebody else. You're not going to stand there and say, well, I'm like this because such and such. No, you before God, because he's your creator. He knows all about you, and he has extended his grace to you. It is speaking to you, and it's what you do with that. Amen? So, I understand that when they rejected that, you know, Titus the Roman general came in. And Jesus said it'd be the days of vengeance. So he comes in, and I understand that he lets people go in the city, but he won't let them come out. And he knew that all the Jewish people, because it was commanded in the word of God for them to come up there to Jerusalem, every year they'd come up there for their ceremonies and sacrifices and things. So he knew this. So he capitalized on the religious nature of those people to follow after what their belief system told them. So he would let them come in, but he wouldn't let them come out. And so they come in there, and they filled the city up, and estimations that there was over 1 million people there in that city. And then Titus moved. And I understand that he built another wall around the outside of that. And the people couldn't get out. Right? And so you know what he did. He went in there, and Brother Bram talked about how they the tribulation was so bad that they ate grass off the ground, bark off the trees, and boiled one another's children and ate them. Because they rejected the word of God. And somehow in this generation, these people today think that they can spurn the manifestation of Jesus Christ in this hour, and it ain't going to amount to nothing.
Right.
Well, they're wrong.
Amen.
Because God is a just God. And so he hemmed them in, and they went. But yet the history tells us that not one Christian was caught inside that city. Because they all obeyed their shepherd. What'd they do? They all obeyed the voice of the word that told them to watch for that. Do you think it was easy for those people to leave that city? They had friends. They probably had family. It was people they grew up with. They knew. Went to synagogue with. But they had to have their belief in the word of the Lord had to be greater preeminence in their life than all their friends and their family and all their associates.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? They had to believe, thus saith the Lord, and accept that greater in their life enough that they could flee from that city at that word and leave everything behind. Leave their homes, leave everything. Because he said, when this happens, you get out quickly. You pray that your flight not be on Sabbath because the gate is shut and you can't get out. Pray that it's not in the wintertime because of the snow, which make it hard to travel. Pray that you're not, don't have a child that you're nursing.
Right?
Because it was going to be decisive vengeance because of what they did. And so they had to, it wasn't easy. It wasn't an easy thing for them to do. They had to make that decision. Do I stay with the place that I've built and I've done all these things and I got all these friends and all that? Do I stay with that, or do I obey the voice of my Lord and flee, leaving all that behind, but save my life in the process? And the history says, and Brother Branham affirms this, that not one Christian was caught inside there. Now, what happened? Titus, like Satan, using religious belief systems to hem them in. And you know that's what's happening with the World Council of Churches and the Catholic Church, taking the belief system of the World Council of Churches and coming together in such a way that as Brother Branham said, Rome will be the boss of it, the Pope will, even though they didn't mean for it to be that way. You follow me? That's what he said. So what are they going to do? All the religious system come back to mother. And they all think, oh, the Catholic Church, they're accepting the Pentecostal baptism of the Holy Ghost. And so we're gonna join with them and all that. And find out one day that that was a trap. And that system has built a wall around all the denominational systems. And they're trapped in there with the mark of the beast. Now, Brother Ram said, like just the animals that knows there's an earthquake coming, get away from those walls. And if an animal with instinct knows that, what about somebody with the Holy Ghost? Somebody's truly got the Holy Ghost, knows to get away from denominational walls. Because it's a trap. We know this. Right? The world doesn't. Because you have to be tutored starting from first grade, second grade, third grade. And we're talking about 12th grade stuff. And they rejected the word back in first grade. You can't even talk to them about these things. Because they've rejected so many things along the way. You can't even enter into a conversation with them. But see, this is what's going on. It's a trap. And so we've been told and shown and we know, stay away from this thing because it's a trap of the devil. And Brother Ram said, you're going to find out one day that you've taken the mark of the beast and you didn't even know it. But not the believers. Why? Because when Satan tries to hem you in with his city and put his gates around you, because you have revelation in your life, he can't do that to you. Because you have revelation, you don't even fall for those false doctrines. You don't even go for those things, see? Because you have revelation in your life. I trust you do. Amen. So revelation is how he leads his people. You know the word relation. You have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, but there's not a whole lot of difference between relations and revelation. All you need is to put a VE in there and relations becomes revelation. And so what? The key to revelation is to have a relationship. Have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You'll get revelation. When a man and woman get together and they're married, all they got to do is spend time together and she automatically starts producing children. Because they just spend time together. You see what I'm saying? Because they just do what's normal. And if you'll have a relationship with Jesus Christ, he'll see to it that you have revelation.
Right.
Because it's his voice speaking to you.
Amen.
Nobody else hears it, and the other people around you that don't have that, but you do.
Amen.
And it's a personal walk. See? It's more than just reading your Bible and praying every day, but it's a communion where you talk to him and he talks back and he leads you, he guides you. And when you're confronted with issues, you know how to deal with those because he's given you, and you may not even in your own mind understand how's this going to be. I don't know, but he said so. And you just go with it.
Right.
And you'll never be disappointed by following Holy Spirit leadership. We find here in the scriptures in Matthew chapter 25 that there were 10 virgins. 5 were foolish, 5 were wise. I know we're all familiar with this. You've heard it hundreds of times. They were all virgins. They were all virgins. That means they weren't part of the harlot system, the whore system, and her harlot daughters, because they were virgins. So they had not been given to all these other things that the rest of the churches of the world have went after. But they were virgins. They all were virgins. And they all were sanctified, which is to be set apart, cleaned up and set apart. They all expected to be the bride of Jesus Christ. Every one of them. That was the whole intent. They all believed that they were going to be that bride to this bridegroom. You follow me? They all thought this. So they all were virgins and they were all cleaned up and set apart. They were all sanctified for that purpose. Everyone knew that the hour that they lived in. They knew that this was the time he was going to be coming. Not sure exactly what moment, but we know. And we're set aside for that purpose. We expect to be the bride of Jesus Christ. And so they all knew the hour that they lived in. And they all heard the midnight cry. When he finally began to approach and the runner came ahead who was a prophet and said he's coming, right? They all heard it. Wise and foolish both heard that cry. So they all knew this thing is on. It's moving. This is our chance. This is our opportunity to be the bride of Jesus Christ. They all knew it. So what was the difference between the wise and the foolish? And the scripture told us. Because the wise, when the wise took their lamp, you know, what good would it do to have a car without gasoline in it? What good does it do to have a lamp and not have oil in it?
Right.
In the vessel. Right? Or have an extra vessel to put some more in there when you need it. See, so the wise had oil in their lamp, but the foolish did not. That's what made them foolish. And we understand the concept here was that when that cry went forth, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. The whole concept there was for them to be able to rise up and go into the secret place with that bridegroom. But in order to do that, they had to have light. And in order to have light, they had to have a lamp with oil in it. Just a simple thing there, but it's talking about revelation. To be able to see. To be able to see how to go meet him. And so this, like I said at the beginning, it's always struck me very strong. Go ye out to meet him. This is telling us that at the end time, when Jesus Christ comes and we meet him in the air, and I don't want you to think physically so much, right? Because it's something that happens spiritually first and our flesh catches up.
Right.
See? But at his coming, there is a message comes forth that says, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. Now you rise up with your lamp, with your vessel, with your oil. You rise up because he's not coming all the way here where you're at. You got to go out there and meet him halfway or whatever. See, this is the parable, and it's telling. So everybody's wanting to sit around and play their games and their cards and do whatever they do. And when Jesus comes, he'll come and walk in the door and say, come on, let's go. Now, that's not what this is saying. This is saying that there's got to be spiritual revelation in your life. Somehow God's got to be able to speak to you, and you've got to rise up out of this worldly condition and go somewhere that you've never been before, and somehow it leads you and take you to that place where you meet the bridegroom and you go into the secret chamber with him and become the bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's the concept. So we got to get out of our mind these carnal things and realize something has to happen in our lives where we rise up and we go meet him. Because he's not coming where we are in our carnal sense, see?
Right.
We've got to. And so he says, this is the way it is. That this kingdom of heaven at the end, it's going to be like this. That there's going to be churches. Though they may be clean, though they may believe that they're going to be the bride of Jesus Christ, because they have failed to have revelation in their lives, they've let it go. They've not been diligent to have that in their life. Because you can have it. But if you're not, if you just, well, it don't mean a whole lot to you, and I'm just a Christian, and I just walk, and I do, you know, but you don't have revelation, it ain't working for you. But there would be a church, there would be a people who would have revelation in their lives, and it would empower them to be able to go rise up and be that bride of Jesus Christ. Let me say it this way. When the scripture said in Revelation 19 that it was granted to her that she would be arrayed in white linen, clean and white, fine linen, clean and white. It was given to her. It was made available, and it was granted. You can do this. But she had to do it. And so it says his wife has made herself ready. So she can do it. She was given everything she needed to do it. But what if she never put it on? Now, what if she never did clothe herself? See? And so the scripture is telling us here it was a foolish thing. So if it was foolish, that means there was something slacking on their part. But the wise, it wasn't slack. Wasn't lacking. You see what I'm saying? So he puts it back in our lap that even though he provides everything, there's something we have to do, and that is to take what he's given us and go with it. But if you don't really care about revelation, if you don't feel like you need revelation in your life, you're not going to seek God for it. You're not going to pray to God for it, and you're not going to be hungering for it.
Right.
Probably because you're filled up with other things.
Right.
See, but we have to take what he's given, and by using that in our life and following revelation, it'll take us to a place where we can meet our Lord and our Savior, our bridegroom.
Yeah.
So that was what the goal was. To go out and to go into the consummation, to go out there and go into the secret place. And let me remind you of the third pool. And it was a secret place. And in rapture text, Psalms 27, in the secret place, he'll hide me. See? To revelation, and so Brother Brown said in rapture message, to the bride, the rapture is a revelation. To this wise virgin, there was a revelation that showed her that light, how to go and how to meet him. See? So by revelation. You don't have to provide it, you just have to accept it in your life and let that be the thing that you hunger for, that you follow after, is that relationship where he gives you those things. And so, he causes us to rise up from being earthbound. Because if we look at it just like the rest of the world and in our own carnal thinking, and then we're earthbound. Right? But this equips us, and this speaks to us of an eagle. Being able to soar high above everything. When you are earthbound, you have to deal with earthbound creatures. If you're an animal and you have a nest, if your nest is on the ground or if it's somewhere not up in the air, you know, you understand, then earthbound creatures come to get you, come to harm your nest and those sorts of things, see? And so as long as you're earthbound, you have to deal with those things. Like I said a while ago, these people out here that's rioting, they're earthbound. And they're earthbound, and so earthbound politics can get to them. Earthbound powerful manipulators can get to them and play them like an instrument. Can publish a bunch of, give a 4 a.m. talking points to all the network TVs, and by the end of the day have people in the streets rioting for something that's not even happening. Just very few cases here and there, but they act like the whole world's on fire with this kind of stuff. And why? Because they're earthbound and Satan just plays them however he wants to. But you know that when a person's got the Holy Ghost in their life and Satan tries to feed that stuff to you, that Holy Spirit will tell you that's nonsense. You see what I'm saying? So these people are earthbound and earthbound things affect them. But when you rise up in Jesus Christ, they can't bother you. You don't see me out there destroying stuff. Right? You're not either. It's because it doesn't bother you. Why? Because you have something else you're connected to. You know it's nonsense. But what about those who know? Those that are out there. It's because they're earthbound. They don't have this connection in their life. And so anything that Satan wants, any little coyote wants to come along and get in their nest, he's able to because they're earthbound. That's why it happens. But listen, this stuff's only going to get worse. And if you're earthbound right now yourself, if this stuff's affecting you, let me encourage you to get greater revelation in your life. Seek God for it. He'll give it to you. And get to where you're following him, to where this doesn't bother you. Right? Satan's crafty. He'd do it in such a way that if you support it, you're ruined. If you don't support it, you're ruined. If you sit by a silent, you're ruined. Because he's going to force everybody to take sides. Well, our side we take sides with is Jesus Christ. We rise up away from these things, and we're not going to let them bother us. Okay? Pray for these people. Pray for both sides. Pray for the whole bunch. But you know what? Just realize it's judgment because of what they've done. And it is birth pains or I won't say birth pains, but it's indications of our soon release. You find in the scripture where it says, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. I wanted so many times, you know, just to go, there you go. Here's what I have to say about it all. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen. Because it's a terrible time, but yet the most glorious time for believers. For them to be able to go out and meet him, and they have to have oil in their lamps. Psalms chapter 119, verse 105. You're familiar with this little phrase. She'll pull it up in just a moment. Psalms 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. And when it's dark outside, and it's dark, whirling, you need light. Okay, sister. You need light. It is light. His word is a light to our pathway, a lamp to our feet. And we talked so much about the thing when Brother Branham was talking to the man, and he said, come go home with me. And Brother Branham said, I can't. He said, well, where do you live? He said, well, we're over the hill. He said, well, how are you going to get there? He said, well, I'm going to walk, carry the, you know. And he said, well, how you can't see the house. He said, I got this lantern. Well, the concept there is that you got to have the light, and you got to step in what it shows you. And as you step into what it shows you more. And so in order to get home, in order to get to body change, in order to get through this world we're in right now and get to the place where God wants us, it's a walk. It's a walk of revelation showing you how to live today. And as you live properly today in what he shows you, then he'll reveal to you further walk to get you closer and closer to him, closer and closer to your body change, closer and closer to your destination. That's the whole concept. His word. But not just written word, but the revealed word. Revelation of the word is what does that. And so we know this to be true. We'll read some quotes here real quick. And these are all comments Brother Branham made about this particular scripture. He's praying in Masterpiece. He says, Father God, thy word is a lamp, the light that lights the pathway of every believer into the presence of God as it carries us like a lantern in our hand. You've not provided enough that we can see the end from the beginning, but I walk by faith. But as a man would travel through a dark forest at night, and that's where we are, the light that he holds only provides step by step. But the path, though leading upward, just walk with the light, and may the light shine today upon the word and lead us one step further to thy kingdom, the kingdom of God. For we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. And sirs, we would see Jesus. He says, but he comes as a light. And what did he say? Thy word is a light to my path, a light to lighten the path to my feet, to guide me. And today the light of God is the word of God made manifest. The light today, I'm saying, repeating that, the light today is the word of God made manifest. That's going to show you what? Revelation of the word made manifest is going to give you the light to walk in this day. So he says, and today the light of God is the word of God made manifest, the light made manifest. The light is the works of God spoken by the word of God, brought to life, and it's a greater light than it was at the dawn of creation. To have revelation in our life is a greater light than the dawn of creation. See, it just gets better. Amen? Balm of Gilead, and Father, we pray tonight that you'll bless us in our efforts tonight as we come to fellowship around the Word. And may the Word be a lamp unto our feet, a light that will guide us to deeper depths and higher heights in the love of God. Amen? So this is what the Word will do for you. In the beginning and ending of the Gentile dispensation, he said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Search the Scriptures. The Word of God is a lamp unto our feet, that we, it's a light that we follow the pathway that leads us from victory unto victory. So you want to go from one victory to another victory. The way to do that is the Word of God, the light, the pathway, the light in your life, light in your pathway. Amen. And so we know these things to be true. So we are to follow the Word. Follow revelation in our lives. Now, I didn't give her the Scripture, but you're familiar with it. In Joshua, when Joshua was going to take the children of Israel into the land, and God told him, he said, and Joshua gave the message to the people. He said, when you see the priest bearing the ark, and when you see the ark go before you, then you rise up about 2,000 cubits or whatever feet, whatever the measurement was, about 2,000, and as they go and they cross in that Jordan, you follow that ark which represents the word that the ministry was carrying. You follow that. And he said in there, he said, because we're going to take you away at a place that you've never been before. So to understand is, how are you going to get there? You don't know the way. They didn't know the way. But God had a provided way. And so he told me, he said, now you sit back, and when you see the priest bearing this ark, and you see the preachers rise up with a revelation, and when they start going forward and they start preaching it, follow me? When you see that, then you come along behind them. Well, Jesus Christ rose up. He was the Word. He went forward. And about 2,000 years later, we're following him. Right? You look at it from that standpoint. But the concept there was is that the Word was going to take you across the Jordan, across the Promised Land, into the Promised Land. It was going to take you over there where God wanted you to be. But it was going to be the Word that did it. And you've got to follow the Word in order to get there. And so we see that. So revelation in our life is designed to only call the elect to God, of God's people. It's not designed to be easy. If it was easy, then when the foolish and wise virgins, he had just come to him right in the middle of the day and walked up and everybody could have went. But it don't work that way. Because God's not just going to let anybody, just any old body, be his bride. Right? So it's designed to make it difficult. Because if you really love him, you're really going to follow. If you really love him, you're going to make sure that you can get to him. If you don't really care for him, you're not. That's right. I think probably my wife can throw something at me later if this is wrong. I don't mean to embarrass her, but I knew that she loved me. When I was living 150 miles away, she'd come see me. And I believe that if she had to walk that 150 miles to come see me, she would have done it. But if she really didn't care for me, she wouldn't. You follow me? The bride of Christ who loves Jesus Christ the Word will put away all this nonsense that takes her mind off of him. And she will follow him because she loves him. It really is a love test. It really is. She will follow him. She will make sure that she's got oil in that lamp. He's granted to her, and she's going to put it on. She's going to put the garment on. She's not going to horse around about it. Because why? Because she loves him and she wants to be with him. He purposely looks down through the lattice. You know, he lets her see glimpses of him, but not all of it, to see what she'll do. You know, they talk about, the mystery of, you know. Well, there's truth to that. Man. So it's only for his elect people. it's not easy, she's willing to pay the price. Are you unhappy with your life? You don't have to answer that. Just answer it to yourself. You talk to God as you hear what I'm saying. If you're unhappy with your life, how are you going to change it? And I will tell you that you can do whatever you try. You can try whatever you want to do to try and change your life and make it where you're happy, and come back to me in a week or a month or a year, and I'll tell you you're still not happy. Because you're not going to fix it. You're not going to fix the rioting. You can't do something or say something in the natural that's going to stop this world from crashing and burning. It's not going to happen. And you're not going to be able to do things to change your life to make you happy. If God's got your ticket and you're his child, you're just not going to, it's not going to happen. You're going to be miserable, and you're going to have heartaches and sadness and all these things. And I ask you, if that's the way it is, what are you going to do to fix it? You're going to try this and you're going to try that, and it's not going to work. Right? It's not. I've been there. The voice of experience. There's a reason why the scripture said that when in the last days that the world will be led by children, and that they forsake. If you look through the scriptures, when the children forsake the leadership of the gray-headed, they go on into chaos. It's not just trying to make the old people look like they're wonderful and you got to listen to us. No, we've been there. We've seen it. We've suffered already. And if you listen to us, it'll save you some heartache. And the most ancient that we could listen to is the Word of God. He knows. And when we don't listen, we pay the price. And it's the way it is with young people. So, if you're not happy, what are you going to do to fix it? It ain't going to work, whatever it is. If you're not happy with your life. If you've never been married before, how are you going to make sure that you marry one that's going to be right? How are you going to go and you're going to pick the mate for you that's going to be the right one, and you go, this is it. And I'll tell you that more people are married and divorced than those who marry and stay married. It used to be 2/3, and I think it's even more than that now. That people like, and every one of them thought, oh, I love this person. It's gonna be joyous. And then a little while later, they can't stand the person they thought they couldn't live without. Now they think they can't live with them. So mustered up all you can in yourself, and I'm gonna do a really good job, and I'm gonna find the right one, and you'll fall flat on your face. Because you gotta consult Revelation, so that Satan can't hem you in into a life of playing child support and heartache and a broken home and a sad life. Because that's what you're going to get if you don't listen to the revelation of the Word of God and follow God's instructions, see? So how can you? You can't muster up nothing to go fix things and make it right for yourself, because it's not going to work. It can only come, the sure thing is to follow leadership of the Lord. If you've never been ill with a serious condition, you've never been there. You don't know what to do. What are you going to do? You're not. You're just at the hands of whatever the flesh can divvy out. And sometimes the doctors help, and a lot of times they don't. They want to throw a fit about people dying from different things. Why don't they ever say something about the people that die because of mistakes doctors make? It's a whole lot more. Go check your facts. That's the one thing that would solve a lot of things in natural, would be if people would check their facts first before they start hollering. They find out that they're crowing about things that don't even exist. And while they're doing that, they're being tricked into doing that, so they miss what's going on over here that does affect them. Because that's the way Satan works. I'm saying these things because I want people to be wise in Revelation, so that they're not slapped around by the devil, that they can live a victorious life from victory, from one victory to another victory, by Revelation in their life. Because once God reveals to you that you're saved, you're saved. Once he reveals to you that you're healed, it's done. Amen. We know that. You've never been in the rapture before either, have you? How are you going to get there? I don't know how to tell you how to get there. Do you know how to tell me how to get there? How are you going to get there? In yourself. You see what I mean? The virgins had to have revelation or light in order to go and meet him. And we have to too. Because this is a place we've never been before. We don't know how to rise up out of our flesh and become totally free from these things of the world and soar with God. We don't know how to do that ourselves. We can't do it ourselves. It takes a special machine, special equipment to get you up off the ground. It takes the Holy Spirit in your life to get you away from these things. And you can't be soaring while your leg is chained to some worldly habit. You can't. That old ball and chain thing. Why? Because you can't move very fast. When you got this thing, you're just hindered by it. Cut that thing off, and you can go. I think it was brother down there in San Antonio, minister down there, he said one time, when somebody come to the pastor and said, I had a dream come from the Lord. And he said, well, let's hear it. And the guy said, well, I was sitting watching TV. And he said, the rapture happened, and I started going up through the roof. And I went up through that, and he said, I went right through the roof, and he said, as I went by, my foot got hung on the TV antenna. And he said, I was stuck, and I couldn't go in the rapture. And the pastor said, that dream wasn't from the Lord. You read between the lines. You understand? He could say, well, I got my foot caught on the internet cord. I got my foot caught on this or on cigarettes or on gossip or whatever. I couldn't because you can't have worldly things attached to. Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh and he has nothing in me. Brother, sister, that's what we want to be able to say. He's coming. He's working. You can see him. He wants to come after you. But God has revelation that will put us in a place where we can stand there and say, this stuff can't touch me. Why? Because that's not where I go to eat. That's not where my food comes from. That's not where I get my comfort each day. You follow me? We can be all tore up inside because of what we look at on our phone. It ought not be. We ought to look up and lift up our heads and say, redemption draw nigh, and stay with that. And I know we all get aggravated about things, but I'm preaching to myself. Let's rise up and let the word of God be our portion. Let that be our comfort, our hope, and our stay, even while 10,000 fall to our right. It won't come now our dwelling. That's what it should be. That's exactly what it should be. I haven't been in a rapture before, so I don't know how to get there, but I need somebody to tell me, show me, and that can guide me. And revelation does it. The revelation of Jesus Christ takes us to where we need to be, spiritually first, mentally, spiritually, and our bodies will catch up. Okay? It's not up to us. But it will happen. So we need revelation for it to happen. If you're not happy with the condition you're in right now in your life, how are you going to change it? I hope I've convinced you that you can't change it. And the more you try to change it, the sadder you're going to be, the more depressed you're going to be, and whatever else. That's right. So you got to give it to him and be guided from above. You know, I've said this before, we have these things, you know, natural type spiritual, right? We understand that. Horse and buggy, astronaut, all those things. Brother Brown shared that all with us. We've come up with this invention called a GPS. I've mentioned this before. Global Positioning System. And I remember, especially when work would send me to cities, send me somewhere, and I'd have to travel and or we whatever. I hated going through big cities because your maps are never sufficient, right? They're never as sufficient as I would like for them to be. But you'd have to, and sometimes I'd go print my own out off of Google Maps or something like that. I'd go out there and print my own maps, and at every what I perceived to be a complicated intersection, I'd do a map and highlight it and show me what, and I could sit there and flip through that as I would travel. I'd know where I needed to go. But with a GPS, you don't have to do that. And even with all those maps and all the effort, I was always apprehensive, and it was always, you know, because why? I'm going through places that are dangerous. And there was always a great relief when I finally get to my destination. But then when you turn around and come back, you have to go right through it again. Right? But they come out with a global positioning system, GPS. How many's ever used one? How many hasn't used one? Don't see any hands. Well, these little boys back here, they don't know, but we all use them. And the neat thing about a GPS, and I know it's a man-made device, and sometimes it says, turn right, recalculate. I know it does all that, but really, honestly, when they come out with that invention, you can punch in where you want to go, and you don't have to study nothing, you don't have to look nothing, you don't have to print anything out, highlight anything, just punch it in, and listen to the voice that comes from above, that's guided from above. Just listen. And when that device came out, my trips became a lot less stressful. There's still some stress in there, you know, it comes with long trips when you travel for a day and a half at a time or whatever. But the level of stress of traveling, why? Because I'm not having to worry about, am I making the wrong turn? Am I following the guidelines like I'm? Why? Because now I've been connected to a superior device compared to maps, paper maps. And now there's a peace and a comfort, and I just listen to the voice, and I do what the voice says. And that voice is guided from above. Natural typing spiritual. We don't know how to get a body change. We don't know how to go. We don't know how to find that perfect life that's meant for us. We don't know how to set ourselves free from habits and devices of the devil that he tricked us into, and now we can't get away from it. We don't know how to do that ourselves. But he can guide you. But not if you won't listen. Just like I said last week, obedience is required if you want to be the king's wife. It's absolutely must. And Saul was not lost, but he was stripped from being king because he would not obey the word of the Lord. And it's no difference in this day. If we want to be the wife of the king, we've got to be obedient to these things that he has given us. Because if we're not, then, and the same thing, you translate it over into adoption of a son. The son will never come to adoption if he can't become obedient to all the wisdom that comes from God to be in correct rulership. And so, I remember Brother Ram telling the story. It's not hard, what I'm talking about. It's a surrendered life, what I'm talking about. He's telling the story about the fellow, I don't remember his name, but he was in Africa doing mission work, and he got a fever. He had a fever, and was dying. And he went to sleep. And he had a dream. And in that dream, he was a logger, and he worked for his boss. And he, you know the story, but just bear with me. So he was a logger, and his boss said, I want you to go up there and get these logs and bring them down. And he was up there cutting the trees down, and he's trying to move these logs because I got it. My boss wants them down there at the camp. I got to get it back down there to where and he just couldn't move it. And he heard a voice, and he turned and looked, and he talked about it being the voice of the Lord, but it was his boss. Who's our boss? The Lord. That voice. And he said, why are you struggling? Well, I got to get this to camp, you know. Why are you struggling? He said, why don't you just roll that into the river and float along downstream? This man really was laying dying in Africa from a fever and had this dream. And the Lord healed him. But in the dream, it ended by him getting on the log, and he wasn't struggling. He wasn't doing anything but rejoicing. And he was on that log, and he said, he was shouting, "I'm riding it. I'm riding it." And he woke up out of his sleep and was healed. Why struggle with it? Why struggle with this that we're talking about when you just relax and let the revelation carry you? Let God put into your life these things you need. Why struggle with it? Why fight with yourself? Why continue to be fed with habits and things that's destroying your life? And you'll never be free from it if you don't let. Why do that? Let God have your life. Let Him have control of these things. And just ride on it. Ride on the promises of God, and let Him, without you struggling, let Him get you down the road to a peaceful life of joy, marrying the right wife, marrying the right husband, making the right decisions, having the right job, and ultimately having a rapture for your body. Why not let Him do that rather than you trying to make the decisions yourself and pushing these things yourself? Let it carry you. So where are you going to get it? You're going to get it from spiritual revelation. So now that I'll go back and circle back and leave this with you. The scripture said, "Go ye out to the end. Rise up and follow after the Lord. Go meet Him at His coming." What spirits are you giving into? You know, these people out here doing these things that they're doing, they have a spirit upon them. They've been anointed. And I keep saying this, you get influenced by something, it may not make a big deal, but if you entertain that long enough, that little something will be birthed. It'll be birthed into your life. You'll become anointed with the spirit of whatever it is. And I challenge you, stop and think. When you see things like this, and you see people in the workplace, and they have a different opinion on things, and you listen to people debate, how many times do you ever see somebody change their mind? They don't. You know why? Because they can't. You know why? Because they're anointed. And until that spirit is taken off of them and another spirit replaced, you'll not stop what you're doing that's destroying your life. It'll never happen until the strong man, somebody comes in and binds that one that's got you bound. See what I'm saying? And so I know this is kind of rubber meet the road this morning, but if you've got things in your life and you know it's not right, if right now you say, "Well, you know what, I'm not ready," what are you going to do about it? You're not going to make yourself ready. The best thing you can do is surrender everything you have to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, "God, you got to fix this or I'm in trouble." That's all you can do. And I trust that's what you will do. But let me solemnly protest, let me solemnly say to you that if you don't heed to these things, especially in the world we're living in now, just go ahead and get ready for more heartache, more trouble, more sadness, more onslaught of the devil in your life. Just get ready for it, because that's exactly the way it works. But oh, the glory of surrendering to the Lord and saying, "You know what? It's not up to me. I've given it all to Him." And you know what? When you give it to Him, He's going to break those things off of you and get those things away from you. And you'll stop the habits that you have and the things that you do that aren't becoming of a Christian. And He will change the desire of your heart, and you'll want to do the things that you should do. Give you a little simple thing. It's more blessed to give than to receive, right? We know that. So, you know, you're at work, you've got lunch, you've got plenty to eat, and some guy finds out, oh, he forgot his lunch that morning. Now, you got a right. "Hey, this is my lunch. I mean." But why don't you share that with that fellow that don't have it? And when you get done with that and you walk away, take notice to what you feel inside. Just something as simple as driving down the road and here's a person walks up to a crosswalk getting ready to cross, And maybe you don't have to stop for them. Maybe you don't have to that, stop for them and wave them across anyway. And as you go, what do you feel down inside? It's more blessed to give than to receive. When you get into an argument with someone, somebody's fussing, you have a disagreement, and sometimes it's better just to walk away. Most of the time it is. Almost always. There are some times where you got to stand firm. But when it's one of these, especially over stuff that doesn't matter, suffer the wrong, and you be the sacrifice in that situation. And when you walk away, take notice of what you feel down in your heart. You'll love it. How many knows what I'm talking about? That's right. See, raise your hand. I want everybody to look around and see. There's people in here that knows what I'm talking about. Because you know what? If I lose everything in this life, what does it matter as long as I have Him in eternal life? See what I mean? It don't matter. And these people out here fighting on something that, for the most part, doesn't even exist, and it's all just a big playbook to destroy, and it's a judgment. See? And it's like David. God had an issue with Israel because David was king. David had to make bad decisions, and then God had a right to bring judgment upon Israel, but really the scripture said it was Israel that he had a bone to pick with anyway. Right? So the issue here, these things happen because of bad decisions people have made all along, and this nation is weighed in the balance of Van Wadi. And we've got to learn really quickly not to be attached to that and not to let these things hold us down, but let the revelation of Jesus Christ lift us higher and higher and higher in our spiritual walk while this stuff's going on. I'm serious. See, we all are influenced by it, but this thing's getting worse, and it's not going to change. You might look good for a little while, but it's going to be something else because there are powers that are bent on bringing it down, and there's a judgment of God that He has said, let it go, let it rip, let it come. And so we're going to have to deal with it. See? So the best thing we can do, when I say we have to, it's going to be there. So we got to rise up from these things and don't let these things be the thing that holds us back.
Amen.
Amen. Take notice to what spirit you're entertaining, because it's causing you to flesh out what it is. And if you can see that that's taking you to a bad way, to a bad life, and to a bad end, you know it's contrary to the Word, call out to the Lord. Amen. And this is true for, you say, well, that sounds like you're preaching to sinners. Well, sin is unbelief. And if we have anything going on in our life that's contrary to the Word, it's because there's unbelief still in there. So in our own aspect, we may not be sinners, but we are sinning, because Brother Bram said sinners, that's just what they do. They're sinners. But we're the ones that commit sin because we know better. You follow me? And so, you see those things, you know better, you know you're miserable, you got to give it to the Lord, and time's running out. Amen. Let's just bow our hearts as the musicians come. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just ask, God, that your Holy Spirit would take these words that have been given, Lord. And though for me it always seems like I'm coming across more firm than what people perceive it, but to me, the Lord, this morning, it just feels like that being stern, but I know this is what you gave me this morning. This is what you directed me, and so I'm asking God that you would take these words down. Your Holy Spirit would water them, and that you would just touch the hearts of your people. And Lord, may it be stepping stones, not stumbling blocks for your people, but stepping stones that they would be able to use these things, and it would give them victories in their life as they follow these things they've heard this morning, as they stay with your Word and seek you for revelation. Ask God that you would do that for each one of us, that you would draw us, and each one of us, Lord, we just rise higher in our walk with you. And ask God that you bless each one now as we get ready to leave the service. Just ask God that you be with us as we go. And ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. Be willing to pray with anybody that would like to have prayer. Thank you. if it wasn't for the Lord, wasn't for the Christian life, I forget exactly how he said it. He said there would be no reason to be here. Why would we want to be here if we didn't have the hope of Jesus Christ? But you know, that verse, I like to sing the chorus. I mean, I like to make it personal. Because he lives, all my fear is gone. Because he holds my future. Amen. I'd like to sing that as we go. I'd like to sing it that way. To make it personal. Make it a testimony. You know, this Brother Ram said that he has to, and the scriptures tell us he's a high priest of our profession. So you don't just say it, but if you really want him, you desire for him to be your peace, holds your future, make you unafraid. You confess this to him.